For our scripture reading this morning, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 16, 5 through 13. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 5. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay a while with you, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey, wherever I go. I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. If Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord, just as I am. No one, then, should refuse to accept him. Send him on his way in peace, so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. Now about our brother Apollos. I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. And do everything in love.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Amber and Phil, for taking that risk. For you don't know what's coming. I thought you guys did great, and you guys all did great too. I could hear you singing from the front. So that, yeah, thanks for doing that. This morning we are continuing in our study that we've started. Well, this has kind of evolved. We didn't have an official start date, but we last probably couple months we've been looking at texts having to do with discipleship and how to disciple each other and how to disciple others. And then we looked at this text and said, well, if you are disciples, and when Jesus was saying this, if you're disciples, there's one way to tell if you're a disciple of Jesus, and that's how you love each other. That comes from John 13, 35, 34 and 35, which is where Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And so we looked at that and we talked about that, and we got some feedback saying, well, that sounds good, that sounds nice, but how do we do that? What does that look like to actually love each other like that? And this is kind of throughout the Scripture. In Romans 12, verse 10, it says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And so we see throughout, especially the New Testament, Jesus is saying that the people who follow me, my church, my body, my family, They'll be set aside. There'll be something different. You can look at the church body, whether you look at an individual church like Crown Hill or the broader corporate church across the world, that there should be something different, that people should be able to look from the outside in and say, there's something different going on there. There's something that I want. There's something that they have. They relate to each other in a way that there's more of a genuine love there than what we see amongst the world. And that's what Jesus said should be happening. And so we looked at that, but then the question is, okay, well, how do we do that? What does that look like? And so started last Sunday, and we're going to go today and the next three Sundays, we're just taking a stab at how do we do that. We're trying to equip ourselves, trying to give ourselves some tools for how to love each other better. And this isn't necessarily the five steps that Jesus gave us. Jesus just said, you know, you need to be loving each other. This is what it looks like. And so we're trying to put some a little more tangible tools to that. And the tool that we've chosen to go with is something that Gary Chapman, who's a Christian author, came up with. It's called the Five Love Languages. And so basically what Chapman does, he says, there's five different ways that people express and receive love. And we're going down through the list. Last week we looked at words of affirmation. This morning we're looking at quality time. And then to come are gifts, giving and receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Now, just as something to put in the back of your mind for the next three Sundays, it just so happens we're going in the order that Gary Chapman uses in his book. And it just so happens that these first two, words of affirmation and quality time, are two that I can relate to pretty closely. Those, when I take the little profile, those are the top for me. The next three, I mean, it drops off, and I can't relate as closely. So I would be interested. We have a worship meeting tomorrow, right, Phil? I think it'd be great to have stories from you guys that relate more to these following weeks, to have some anecdotes, to have some stories mixed in, to say, you know, this is how I've given and received gifts, and that's how I express, you know, I felt loved through that, or acts of service, or physical touch. So I can't speak as personally to those as these last two Sundays. And so just keep that in the back of your mind. Talk to myself or talk to Phil. We'd love to plug you in on a Sunday morning and just give a chance to share a little testimony about this is how it is. Now, I know that could be tough and stretching for you, but just remember, it's easy to say no to something like that because it's hard to come up here and share something like that. But remember, if you step out on a limb and you share a story about how one of these love languages has affected you, that's an opportunity for you to minister to everyone else. You're sharing yourself, which is difficult, but if you never do that, there's some people that need to hear your story that would never hear it otherwise, and then you can be an encouragement to other people. So don't just think about yourself, no, I don't want to do that. No one really wants to, okay? You do it so you can help other people in their walk. So I encourage you to be thinking about that. So we're looking at these five love languages. Now, the way this has to work, though, is you've got to remember, this is a two-way street. There's a two-way street in these love languages. One, you need to understand what the love languages are and how to love someone in their love languages. And that's what we're working on as a church. We're working on getting a list of activities to do for someone that has, say, if they're words of affirmation. Here's a list of things that you can do to show the love to someone that has a words of affirmation love language. So we're working on compiling that. But the two-way street is, we need to know what your love languages are. You know, you can't really love someone in this way unless we know what your love languages are. And I was just an example to help remember this. I don't know if I've told this story or not before, but it helps me think through this in a way like this. I think it was about a year ago, I was over in Croatia. I was over there for some meetings, and I remember I talked a little bit about it. I can't remember if I told you exactly how I got there. But with Croatia, the closest airport to where I was going is actually in Italy and in Venice. And if you can imagine, there's the boot, and then you got to go and over. You go through Slovenia, and then you get into Croatia. And it's not, you go through three countries, but the countries are much closer together. They're not like the U.S. where it's huge. So it was about a four-hour drive, maybe a couple hundred miles to get there. And I was looking at the different trains and bus options. But I looked, I had a red-eye flight, and I was getting into Venice very early in the morning. I didn't have to be to this place until very late at night, or not late, later that evening. So I had, like, you know, all day to get there. So, oh, let's do something a little different. So I figured, instead of getting a bus ticket or instead of, getting a plane ticket, I decided I'm going to try to hitchhike from Venice to Croatia. So I got off the plane, and I had my backpack, and I walked out the airport and just started walking down the road, and I put my thumb up and just sat there for a while. And eventually, a family, the car stopped by, and there's a parents, mother and father, and an adult child that was in the car, their daughter. And they had just come from the airport, and they saw me with my thumb up, so they stopped and they picked me up. Now, I've been told that Italian and Spanish are very, very similar in their language, and they are. So I speak some Spanish. I don't speak any Italian, so I figured, when they pick me up, I'll just try to speak Spanish and see if they can understand me, because they should be able to understand Spanish better than Italian. And so they picked me up, and I started to, you know, say some stuff in Spanish, and they had no idea what I was saying, but they couldn't tell what language I actually spoke, because, I mean, I don't look like, I mean, you can't really tell an American from an Italian from just looking at them. And so we're just trying to communicate, and they're speaking Italian, and I'm trying to speak Spanish, and they can't figure it out. And finally, the daughter says something in English, and I respond in English, and she's like, oh, this guy speaks English. And so then they could communicate with me, and I told them what I was doing, and we actually could have some dialogue. The whole point of that story is, until you know what someone's language is, you can't communicate. And so until we as a church know what your love language is, we can't love you in a way that's as meaningful as it could be. And so the idea here is, we need to hear your love, know what your love languages are. And I know that's, in one sense, it's kind of a very personal thing to tell someone what your love language is. But in another sense, it's not personal at all. I mean, you're not really revealing anything, you know, that, like, something that's like your identification or anything. It's basically, you're letting people know how they can relate to you. And so as you fill out those forms that were in your mailbox, as you go online, please fill those out and give me your top two love languages, and we'll get that list down. And so that way we know what language each other are speaking. So this morning, the one we're looking at is quality time. Last week was words of affirmation. This morning is quality time. And a definition to paraphrase Mr. Chapman, what I say for quality time is someone whose love language is quality time won't feel loved unless they are receiving focused attention and can participate in quality conversations and quality activities. So someone whose love language is quality time won't feel loved unless they can participate in quality conversations and quality activities and received focused attention. So those are kind of the three different things. If you're taking notes, you can write down those three little bullet points: focused attention, quality conversation, and quality time. So the first one, quality attention. Now here's a little test you can run in your mind here. It's just like I said, there's the actual test to figure out what your love language is. But here's a little test you can run. If you're talking to someone, whether you're having lunch or you're just sitting there talking, and all of a sudden they whip out their cell phone and they start answering or typing a text while you're talking to them, to what level of anger and upset do you have? And if you're pretty high on that list, like, I can't believe they're doing this and I'm sitting here talking to them, that's probably an indicator that you're a quality time person. Because for you, that focused attention of kind of a one-on-one interaction with a person where you are giving each other your attention, that's very important. You know, last week we talked about words of affirmation, and that what's very important there is the actual words that are being said. If someone's saying, you know, an affirming thing or an encouraging thing to you, the actual words are what the important thing is being communicated. Whereas with a quality time person, it's just the fact that you're getting that attention. And so if someone whips out their cell phone and starts texting, that's sending the message that, well, you're not quite worth my time as much as this text is, than whatever a Snapchat or Facebook update is. That's more important than the time that we have right now. And so for a quality time person, when that happens, they get pretty upset or hurt or feel offended, whereas other love languages, that's just a little test, that focused attention is very important, that there's that attention is being given, that there's eye contact, that there's not distractions, that the time is quality. And I think that word quality is pretty important. You know, there's a reason he didn't just say time. Spending time together is a love language. That Mr. Chapman came up and he said quality time is what's important. When you're spending quality time with someone, then they feel love. They feel like you are loving them for who they are with quality time. And there's a quote from the book that I want to just read here. It says, "Some people think they're spending quality time together when, in reality, they are only living in close proximity." And this is a sad reality. I think of our day, it's even sadder. I think it's probably been true of all history, but in our day and age, it's very easy to be in the same room as someone and spend no quality time with them. And our gadgets and gizmos and TV and computer and internet, it kind of seems to be fighting this battle against us that makes it harder and harder to actually spend quality time. Because you're never really alone. You're never with a person, you know, one-on-one where you have that quality time, because there's constantly distractions. There's constant other people seeking to text you or email you or Facebook you and all these other things. And so quality time in 2015 seems like it's a much harder thing to get at than what it would have been a couple years ago. But I'm sure there were distractions back then too, but it seems like they've just grown. But it's the word quality is so important. Because we all see people. You know, in our daily living and as we go throughout our days from day to day, we see people. If you go to work, you see people. If you go to school, you see people. At home, you see people. In church, you see people. We all see people and we spend time with people. But how much of that time is actually quality time as Mr. Chapman would define it here? I think we can go days and weeks or even months of seeing people without having that quality time of uninterrupted, you know, focused attention where you can spend time with another person or other people, a group of people, where that time is important and you get rid of the distractions and you can actually enjoy each other's attention. And so that's number one, is the focused attention. Another thing that Chapman brings out is the quality conversations. The quality conversations. Now, just as we said earlier, last week we looked at words of affirmation. So what is being said is the most important thing. In quality conversation, it's not actually what is being said is the most important. Let me just read his excerpt here. He calls it a sympathetic dialogue where people are sharing their experiences, thoughts, feelings, and desires in a friendly, uninterrupted context. So where people are sharing their experiences, thoughts, feelings, and desires in a friendly, uninterrupted context. So a typical thing about this is when, if you think you see someone, they ask, "How is your day?" You know, you may not think that's vital information. And it rarely gets past small talk. It's not like there's an important business transaction where I need to know these numbers and the information you're going to tell me right now is vital. What you tell me about your day is going to, you know, just a seismic shift in the existence of everything. But people, it's a conversation that they're starting. And for a quality time person, it's not so much the wanting to know the X and the O's and every detail of what happened in your day. The important thing is that starts a conversation where you can sit and interact and dialogue with somebody. And so dialogue, what Chapman says is where you share your thoughts and feelings and desires in a friendly, uninterrupted context, that's what's important. It's not so important as the words, the actual words being said, that's words of affirmation, but the fact that you're having a conversation, that you're taking time out of your day when you have other important things that you want to be getting to, you have work that needs to be done, you have homework you got to do, you have tasks to do, but you're taking the time to stop and spend that time with the person that you're conversing with, and that is very important for a quality time people. So quality conversations. And last is quality activities. And this is something, basically people that are quality time, they just don't want to do things alone. Okay? They want to be doing things with other people. And so a quality activity can basically be anything that a quality time person can be doing with somebody. You know, and so whatever it is that the hobbies that the quality time person might have, the interest they might have, this is what they want to be doing with other people. You know, that could be, anything from, like the ladies do sewing here once a month. I think that's a great quality time opportunity where the sewing isn't the real important thing. I mean, it's important to be sewing, and where they give their quilts to MCC is important. But I think the most important thing that happens back in that room on Tuesdays is all the ladies from the church get to spend that time with each other. They can catch up, and they can spend, getting to know each other better. And the sewing is kind of the thing, the quality activity that brings them together. But it's the relationships that get formed there that's very important. So it could be anything, no matter how small or insignificant the activity is, but if it's something that you're doing with someone else and you can share that activity with someone, that's what makes it a quality activity. So just think about the things you enjoy doing, and if you're a quality time person, you're going to want to do that with somebody. And that's also one of those things when you think, when we get our list together and you see other people that are quality time people, just imagine, okay, what does this person like to do? And if their love language is quality time, they're probably going to love to do that with you. Whatever it might be, if you just say, "Hey, I saw you're a quality time person, and I know you like to sew. Will you teach me how to quilt? I've always wanted to quilt." A quality time person is going to eat that up. So, there's some simple ways that you can express love to someone when you know what their love language is. Now, just thinking out loud here, there's one. Earlier, I was talking about all the different distractions, and there's one kind of a gray area here. And I was asking myself, is watching TV together a quality time activity? Because watching TV can be a distraction. Right? If the TV's on and you want to spend quality time with someone, that can be very distracting. You don't know each other. I mean, you don't get a chance to really converse. But I think watching, a show or a movie together can also be a quality time activity. Like, I know the host settlers would be projecting a movie on Saturday night at their house. I mean, that can also be quality time where you're spending time together with the people that you're doing it. So I think that can go both ways. And I don't really have the answer for when it rolled over into a distraction and when it's a quality time activity. And maybe you guys can help me with that. I think it has something to do with, if the TV is kind of always on and it's just white noise and it's one person is wanting to talk and the other person is wanting to just look at the TV, then it becomes a distraction. But, if both of you have had a long day and you want to relax together and watching a TV show is something that you enjoy to do together, then I would see that as a good quality time activity. So there's a little bit of a gray area in, you know, when some of these things become distractions and when some of them are actual quality time activities. And I don't have a perfect answer for that. So that is, in a nutshell, what quality time folks are looking for. Focused attention, quality conversations, and quality activities together. Now, as we looked at last week, and the question we want to ask ourselves, is this biblical? Okay, Gary Chapman wrote this book, and Gary Chapman is a Christian man, but is this biblical? And I think the answer is pretty clear, and just interesting to looking at what Paul writes. I pulled out the Keith read this morning is one of the things at the end of his letter, the end of 1 Corinthians, and he ends a lot of his letters this way, and it's kind of an indication, I think, that Paul was probably a quality time person. And verse 7, I think, really pulls this out. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 7, Paul says, "I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits." That seems like an indicator of what Paul is wanting here. He says, I don't want to just come in and say hi and goodbye because I don't get to spend any time with you. You know, if he was a words of affirmation person, he could say, I'm going to come in and I'm going to give you an encouraging word and I'm going to pump you up and I'm going to say some nice things and I'm going to be on my way. That would be more along the lines. But here he says, I don't want to just see you in passing. You know, I want to spend some quality time with you if the Lord permits. And that's not, this is in Corinthians, but he ends a lot of his letters this way. He says, I want to come be with you. I want to see with you. A lot of his letters, he says, prepare a room for me because I'm going to come and I'm going to spend time with you. Make sure there's a spot for me to stay because when I'm there, I want to be there with you. And a lot of the times he says, I long to come be with you. I long to come see you, but God has permitted me to come and all these things. So we see Paul has this real deep desire to come spend time with the people that he's writing his letters to. But I think the best example in the Scriptures of quality time is seen just interwoven throughout all the four Gospels. Throughout the four Gospels, the very beginning of all the Gospels, or not the very beginning, but towards the beginning of all the Gospels, we see Jesus calling His disciples. And He says, come follow Me. And if you the scholars traced out Jesus' ministry, and He says from when Jesus first called His disciples to when He was crucified is right around in the 3-year period. And so we have this story unfolding of 3 years where the disciples and Jesus, and it wasn't just the 12, there was a group of followers, there were women involved, that basically did everything together. These people lived together, and we know they didn't have one home that was theirs. They were kind of nomadic. They went from place to place, so they lived together. And we know that the transportation at that time was, they didn't have cars, they didn't have planes, so when they were going from place to place, they were walking together. So this group of 12 to 15 to 20, however big it grew, they were walking from place to place throughout Palestine together. We know they ate their meals together, and that's a very sacred time for them, is those eating the meals together. And we especially have the Last Supper that's been written about very extensively, where they were together for that last meal. We know they did ministry together, where Jesus sent them out two by two, and they said, you know, go minister to these towns. They did ministry together. We know they learned together because whenever Jesus was teaching, His disciples were right there at His feet. Sometimes there were big crowds, but His disciples were all there. Then we also know, and this is true of anyone who spends this much time together, they bickered together a lot. You know, we have these examples of the disciples saying, who's the greatest and why did you say this and all this other stuff. So they spent quality time together, but they're also bickering together. But we can see throughout those 3 years that this group of followers really spent a lot of quality time together. Uninterrupted time when Jesus was teaching His disciples and they were sitting, listening, interacting, having discussions and learning from Him, not having the distractions of all the cell phones and the other agenda. They dropped their nets. When Jesus said, follow Me, they dropped their nets. And they spent that time, the next 3 years with Jesus, in a quality way, doing everything with Him, living with Him, walking with Him, eating with Him, and then ultimately suffering with Him. And I think in the Scriptures, that is the best example of quality time that we have. Well, I'll close with a prayer, and I don't know if you guys have the final song queued up, but let's pray. Dear God, we thank You for this morning. Thank You for the gift of music that You've blessed Phil and Amber with, that we can just throw numbers out there and we can sing the song. We thank You that we can praise You in that. I thank You for everyone here this morning as we continue to learn how to follow what Your expectations are of us, to how to love each other in a way that is radical in a way that's different than what the world expresses love. Lord, I pray that you would take this tool, these five love languages that we've chosen to use, and that you would bless us with it, that you would open up our eyes to know how to love each other, that we could participate fully. And Lord, ultimately, I pray that this, that through us growing closer to each other and becoming more loving, would open the door to others coming in, that we wouldn't become closed off in a little clique, but that we have more love to give to those on the outside that need this love. And so, Lord, I pray that we can be invitational in it. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.